Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the DeFont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, and westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 165 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Dr. Klinsman up in Westerly. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
Good evening, Mike. How are you today?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
How are you?
Tired.
Tired?
Yeah. I shouldn't be tired.
Take the legs off the desk for a couple hours today?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Like you're the only person that works for a living.
Well, it's whatever your definition of work is. I'm okay. A blue-collar physical laborer.
What do you think I do?
You smoke cigars, and you put your pretty little penny loafers on top of a desk.
Hey, I work in a place where I have to wear a safety vest, and I have to wear ankle-high boots. There's no desk and pencil pushing going around. No, they are steel toe.
Yeah, I used to have to wear those at Spidell. They're not very comfortable, are they?
They could be worse. I wear Keen. They're pretty expensive, because, you know, we talk about the plantar fasciitis that sometimes afflicts the both of us, and those Keen ones were very comfortable, so I decided, you know, if I'm going to be wearing them every day at work, I should probably spend a little money on them, so.
You know, I had a flare-up probably about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I got home from work and I didn't want to take my socks off because I was afraid of what I was going to see. You know, like when you have a severe sprained ankle, you just don't want to look at it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, both my ankles look like grapefruits.
Oh, jeez.
And it was horrible. So I had a day off. So I realized that my Dr. Scholl's inserts, the one where they scan your feet and they're like $75.
Yeah.
That those were flat as a pancake because I had worn them for... I was a dog walker, you know, walking 15 miles a day.
Right.
I had worn them for 5 years, so I needed some new ones. So I went in search of getting new ones, and I went into a Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the scanner, but they had these other... And they were called just plantar fascia inserts. And they were like $13, just over the counter.
Yeah.
And I bought them, and as soon as you start walking on those, your feet just start feeling better.
Right.
And within 2 days, like, I had no pain. So look for these things. They're where the inserts are sold.
Yeah.
And they just call it, like, plantar fascia.
Interesting.
And they are phenomenal. And I was talking to my boss a couple weeks ago, and he was saying how he has plantars, and he said that they were flaring up. He said, and he got these new inserts. So I said, what'd you get? He pulled them out of his shoe. I said, I just got those a week ago. Mm. He's like, it's a godsend, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. I go, within, like, I said, when I put them in my shoes and took Fenway for a walk, everything started feeling so much better.
They're pretty comfortable.
Yeah, they're really comfortable. And they're not, like, really goofy soles. Like you can't really feel them, you know what I mean? But they're just enough to pad that area that...
Keep everything in place.
Yeah. Definitely, they're at Walgreens. And like I said, they're under $20, so...
Yeah, I'll have to look for those. Because I did see one thing they had that, like, you wear at night and it, like, stretches your foot the whole night.
Okay.
And my wife said that that's good, but it doesn't, like, fix the problem. It just, like...
Band-aids it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Because I'd notice in Minnesota when I would go from, like, sneakers to boots, I'd get it, like, right away, and then I'd put the inserts into my boots, and I was fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What other Disney podcast can you get plantar fasciitis talk?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is we touch on all topics.
Everything.
Around here.
Everything. I mean, we got the NFL draft going strong right now. I only knew that because I was just on Facebook, and... Everybody, oh, Chicago drafted X. I'm like, dude, who cares, man? It's almost May. It's summer. The Masters is over.
Right.
We got the U.S. Open to look forward to.
Yes.
I'm like, why are you talking about a draft?
I don't get the fascination with it.
No.
Like, I can understand on the day of watching it, people get into it a little bit. But there's, like, weeks of lead-up.
All these mock drafts and stuff. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. I used to get into the NBA draft.
Yeah, I used to like the NBA draft.
When,
you know, every 10 years, maybe URI was going to send somebody, but...
I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but back before, like, all the high school kids were coming out, now they don't do that anymore. But there was a nice, like, time period where it was all college guys before
mm-hmm.
all the foreign guys were in the top 10. Because now it's no fun. Like, the Celtics draft some guy that isn't going to play for 3 years because they ship him over in Lithuania and, like, keep him playing in that pro league over there or whatever.
Yeah,
it's kind of boring, but it's a little better now than it was 5-10 years ago with the new rule that everyone has to play in college for a year, but it was better when there weren't too many. Like, when KG came straight out of high school, that was, like, unheard of.
Yeah.
And then Kobe did it, and then all of a sudden LeBron did it, and then everyone did it.
Did you watch that YouTube video I sent you?
The KG one?
Yeah.
I watched part of it, but I didn't have the volume on, so then I forgot to go back to
it. You gotta watch it. Susie actually watched it from the beginning. I was halfway through, and she's like, what are you watching? I said, this is unbelievable. So we started it from the beginning. It was really good.
KG. One of your favorite athletes of all time, right?
I told Susie, she's like, no. I said, he's my favorite all-time Celtic. That's saying something.
And he only played with the Celtics for, like, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
That is saying something.
You didn't see grit like that. Maybe like you always said, he was the newest flavor. Maybe going back, it might be Larry Bird, but you didn't see guys like that. Very few who just had that passion, who hated to lose.
Right. Well, Bird was that way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine if those two guys played together. I mean, Bird, McHale, those guys hated to lose. Ainge would get into fist fights. I mean, those guys are just gritty, man.
Well, now they're all buddies now. That's the biggest problem. All these guys come up together. They play in these, like,
buddies.
AAU leagues, and they all hang out, so they don't care if they win or lose. They're playing against their buddies, you know?
I remember when LeBron formed the Big Three, and they were talking to Bird and Magic, and there's like, there's no way I would have ever joined the Lakers or vice versa just to win championships. So, like, we hated each other. So we had a respect for each other, but we hated each other's team, each other's city, and we just wanted to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be so many fights, like with Rambis and Lambeer and all those guys. Like,
yeah,
didn't they? There was a huge fight with
Lambeer.
Was it in the playoffs where, like, McHale just, like, punched a guy on the Sixers and he didn't even get, like, a technical?
There may have. I don't remember that one. I do remember, I think it was Ainge. It wasn't Glenn Doc Rivers. It could have been actually Glenn. They were playing Atlanta.
Oh,
I think Ainge bit somebody.
Now that would be, like, 24/7 coverage on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to go see a psychologist and...
Well, I mean, that could be...
What happened with his upbringing. He didn't get enough trophies.
Although, I mean, if you're biting someone, maybe you do need to see a psychologist. I don't know. That's up for debate, I suppose. So,
well, neither of us are clinical psychologists, so...
Let's get that on the record.
We might have to move on to something else.
Psychologists. Okay. Well, if we're moving on, I can bring something up that I did today. It's the end of April, and as you may or may not have realized, there has been no Por Favor cooking class uploaded to YouTube in this month. But it will be up before the end of this month. I was able to make my monthly recipe today. I picked up the ingredients and cooked and recorded, and I just got to edit it and get it all uploaded.
Can you give us a teaser?
Would you like to know what it was?
Yeah, I do.
It was from a little spot called Captain's Grill.
I know that place.
And I made their New England clam chowder.
You made it, huh?
Yeah, I had a recipe. And,
was it as good as I've been talking about?
You know, I have to say, there's a caveat.
You screwed it up.
I didn't screw it
up.
Don't even
screw it up, Jürgen.
So the recipe had no salt or pepper in the recipe. So the first few bites, I was like, it's kind of bland. Like, it was good, but it wasn't great. I mean, you know, there's places, you can get good chowder a lot of places, especially in New England in the summer. Those little clam shacks,
places like that. Yep.
So I've had good chowder, and I have no doubt that, because this was pretty good. It was nice and thick, a lot of clam, good flavor, but it was, like, bland.
Okay.
But as it sat longer, so the first few bites it was like okay, and then I put a little pepper, a little bit of salt, and it got a little better. But then by the end of the bowl, I was like, this is pretty good. And Sarah said the same thing. At first it was a little bland, but then as the flavors melt, you know, merged together more, it got better. So it was pretty good. I would say it wasn't my favorite thing that I've made so far, but it was still pretty good. And it was easy to make, though. Very easy to make. Probably the easiest thing I've made so far for
that's
the
good to hear
class. Yeah.
Now did my little one have a taste? Did she like it?
Jurgina loves soup, and she loves chowder. She was very excited. She gave it a big thumbs up. So,
now, did you have any enhancements like clam cakes, or was it just straight-up chowder tonight?
Just the chowder. I didn't make any sides. I did have some... I made some chicken fingers just so we had something else to eat, but that was it. Nothing else. No, I thought about the clam cakes, but I didn't want to bust out the fryer and have to deal
with all that. Yeah, now you're going all out.
I mean, it's a Thursday night. I mean, if it was a Saturday, maybe I could have done that. But
now you could have done the por favor Mike meal and done the chowder and then the lobster roll.
Lobster roll, yeah. Mm. Again, I didn't want to blow the budget. I still have to save up. May's coming quick, so I have to do another cooking class very soon.
God, I might go up there and have that again. I love that place.
I know you do. Big fan.
Captain's Grill.
I have to bring up something. Maybe I'll bring it up after the break because we can kind of incorporate it into the meat of our episode. And you mentioned it to me, but I want to get your full thoughts on the record about it. But before we do that, would you like to hear my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
I would like to hear that.
Again, I have a Newport Storm, and this week it is called Local, L-O-C-A-L-E, and ale is highlighted, so like local ale.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Saison ale with honey, 7% alcohol. That's it, made by Newport Storm out of Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah, that sounds like mud. Sounds like mud, Bill.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
I like just a little honey taste. At the beginning, you get a light beer. It's a good summer beer. You said that summer's just around the corner. This would be a good beer for summer.
Speaking of, it was hot today.
I heard. I saw Mr. Willing posting on Facebook. Only a Minnesotan rube will go to vacation in Disney World and complain about it being too hot.
It was it was crazy because I was looking at my smartphone because it's not humid and we had a breeze. But there were times where it was pretty damn hot. And it was 90 degrees where I was, but it was 95 in Orlando.
Ooh, that is 95. Warm.
Well, let's just put this in perspective. If it's 95 in Orlando in April, you know come July it's going to be 163.
Right, it's just
going to keep going.
Follows the reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's getting warm. I got something to read, too.
Right now
right now as we're talking about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading this article, and it was from KFAN, sports radio up in Minnesota. And it says, if the dusting of snow that swung through the Twin Cities this morning was a rude awakening, might I suggest not waking up at all next Monday morning? Early forecasts for Sunday night are telling us to expect overnight Sunday and right into Monday morning's commute. A representative in front of the station using blah, 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 blah. Depending on which models you look at, we're for sure getting rain approximately an inch overnight, blah, blah, blah. But the way it's trending, they could get 6 to 12 inches.
Of snow?
Yeah.
On May 1st?
Yeah, they said they would, yeah.
That's not good. Because Monday is May 1st.
Yeah. And yeah, they're talking about models, and they said, take today for an example. The high temp today was supposed to be 42 degrees, but we're presently clocking in at 34 as of 4 p.m. The models are showing signs that the temperature's printed and ready for severe drop to impact that forecast over the next few days. It's obviously not expected to stick around very long, but I mean, come on, it's almost May. Can't we cut this crap out?
Is that in the article?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just editorializing.
No. And this is from KFAN.
That's brutal. Oh,
and I look just to see. In they said Sunday it's got 100% chance of precipitation, and they said it's like 40/36, so they're right on that cut line.
And that when it gets wet, like the kind of warmer snow, that's when it really is mud. It's impossible to shovel.
And that's Jürgen. That's what killed me, to be honest, was that crap.
Yeah,
like you're not really worried about 6 to 12 inches of snow.
Not at this point. I mean, I'm looking at 79 on Saturday, high 70s coming up. I think I've turned the corner. I'm not looking forward to any snow. I might get a 50-degree day here and there, but snow's probably out of the forecast for a while.
I'm looking at their high. Tomorrow, 54. Saturday, 56. Sunday, 45. Monday, 42. Tuesday, 49. Wednesday, 58. Tuesday, 62. Well, Thursday 62, Friday 62, and sunny, and then Saturday 67. And even you just, it's awful. It's awful, Bill. We're looking into May now.
It's May. Yeah, they could get snow. That's not good. That is not a good thing.
If on a scale of 1 to 10 for sucking, Minnesota was a 10, Rhode Island might only be like a 7.
For weather or just in general?
Yeah, for weather.
I would say it's not even that bad. I mean, if Minnesota's a 10... I don't think Rhode Island's a 7. Rhode Island's probably like a 5.5 tops.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you maybe a 6.
Because the winters are not that bad. Like, Rhode Island, it doesn't stick around. Even when you get a real crappy winter in Rhode Island, it doesn't stick around, the snow. It melts, comes back.
Now, if you had spent 16 years in a place where you could get snow into May, and you typically did get snow into May, you think that would have caused you to throw a shovel into your neighbor's driveway?
It's possible.
You still don't think it would push you over the brink, though, huh? That just might have been my Irish temper.
It could have been. I mean, I don't know. The problem I'm having is into the neighbor's yard. Like, I might have thrown it.
His car wasn't out, but I mean, he drives a nice car. It's not like I was going to drill his car. And I wasn't throwing it. Like, it kind of slid. Like, I just threw it as hard as I could because it was a shovel.
Yeah.
And, like, it just landed in the street and just skidded on the ice up into his driveway.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it wasn't like I was, like, it, like, bounced off his garage door or
shattered
a window.
Because I have, like, you know, next to my house, I have that, like, drainage area.
Yeah.
That big fenced in. Like, I could easily see myself throwing it end over end into that and just throwing the hands up and walking in the house.
Oh, doing the end to end with the hands up?
Yeah. Like a golf, like if you throw your golf club in the pond and just like helicopter. I could see myself doing that, certainly.
Well, it's almost like you just want to break it in 10 pieces. Like if you snap your driver over your knee, you got to continue.
That's true.
Like you got to break it into thirds and then fourths and then fifths and just keep snapping that thing until you can't get a
grip. Until
good
you got a grip in a head.
Yeah, you can't get.
All right, Bill, let's take a break, because I got a couple things I want to ask you after break here.
All right. Should I be concerned?
No, it's a good thing. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, we'll go to break. This is episode 165 of the Por Favor podcast, and before we reveal our topic for the evening, did you want to get into what you're going to hit me about? Or?
Yeah, because this is... This is a Disney-related topic.
Uh-huh.
So there's a very popular blog and vlog and website called The Diz, and I know you're familiar with it.
Is it The Diz Unplugged?
The Diz Unplugged.
Yeah, I listened to that show.
I think you know where I'm going with this. And their YouTube videos where they do like the best and worst.
Oh, they did the worst. I listened to one. I think they did the best resorts.
Right, that's recent. But there's one from maybe 6 months, a year ago, where they did the worst table service credits on property.
Yeah, one was Captain's Grill.
Number one with a bullet. Like, what's going on there? What am I missing? This is your favorite, and this is like the worst one, according to this guy.
Well, if you've listened to them, they kind of rip a lot of things.
He seems miserable.
Yes. Oh, I didn't want to say it, but you did.
Which I like.
Yes, I do too, because you don't want the cheerleader facade. Everything's fantastic.
But he's like... He's almost a cheerleader for, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, he
You almost say, why do you go?
No, he doesn't hate everything. He only hates, like, he only likes a few things, and he hates everything else. Like, there's no in-between. It's not like, oh, that was okay. It's either he loves it or it's the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, continue. So what am I missing? How is it the worst sit-down for him, but it's your favorite as far as single credit?
Well, it's Susie's favorite, too, so...
Wait, what am I missing, though? Like, what's
he missing? I don't
know
what you're missing. I just go by taste. Maybe
he said the service was awful, and you said it's, like, the best service you've had. I don't
understand. The kid that we had for lunch was the best server other than, like, you know, your Shuler's.
Yeah.
You know, but for... a Greg's-type restaurant, you don't expect to get service like this.
Right.
And I think the food's good. I love the breakfast. I love the dinner. I like the atmosphere. I like everything about Captain's Grill.
I just can't understand. It's like, if you listen to what you say about it, and then listen to what this guy says about it, it's like, you wouldn't even think it's the same restaurant.
You think maybe I should email him and contact him and say, why don't we do a joint venture together? You treat... and we'll both eat at Captain's Grill?
That would be pretty cool. But I don't understand, like, it doesn't make sense how a reasonable person like you, because you're not, like, you're not a foodie snob.
I'm not a foodie snob. No, you're right.
But you know what's good. I mean, you know it's garbage. If it was garbage, you would say it's garbage. You're not, like, you don't have the rose-colored glasses on for everything.
Right.
And if you had a bad experience there, even after you said that you love it, if you had lousy service one day, you would say, you know, I had lousy service, I still liked the place, but the service was terrible this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would definitely say that. So I just don't understand. I'm... because he said he used to love it. It used to be one of his favorite places, and then now it's like he's totally turned off to it.
And I don't know how you can go from hot to cold.
It doesn't make sense.
Unless you had a bad experience. Because like you said, you're going into Narcoossee's knowing what to expect.
Right.
And, you know, if you've been there once, if you and Sarah went again and you were like, just like I remembered, love it. Like, all of a sudden you're going to go back 6 months later and it's going to be a piece of garbage.
I don't understand. That's what I mean. Even if you had bad service, like if you went to California Grill next week and the service was just okay, you wouldn't all of a sudden think it's a terrible restaurant.
Right.
That's what I just don't understand. I didn't know if you had any like insight and if you could get into his head.
No, I saw the same thing, so I knew where you were going when you started talking.
Okay. Otherwise, I like that guy's show. I mean, I have no problem with him ripping.
Yeah,
the
place. I listen to him and I love his, because he focuses a lot on the resorts and. The food kind of like what we're interested
right.
in, so.
Yeah, anytime I see one, they're like, top five attractions, next.
Yeah.
No thanks. Ooh, top five quick service restaurants, I'll watch that.
Yeah, they just did the top five resorts by category. It was pretty good.
I haven't seen that one yet. I did.
Because they're
see
like,
it.
They own like 9 DVCs, so like they've stayed everywhere. I mean, they just.
They're nonstop. They're in it. They're in it to win it. They're there all the time. Eating hanging out.
Have you seen, they did one where they were reviewing, right after it had reopened, after their refurb, place over at Boardwalk, Flying Fish.
Oh, right, yeah.
They must have spent $900. I think they seriously got everything on the menu.
Between like four people, right?
No, they were more than that, but still, I mean, like, you know, they got like 8 entrees and a ton of desserts and a ton of appetizers. I'm like, this dude dropped like $1,100 tonight. I mean, you know, we boast about our advertising revenue, but I think they might have us beat a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're dropping $1,100 on a meal, not blinking.
Right, exactly. Yeah, maybe he's independently wealthy. Who knows?
Oh, no, his studio's pretty swank, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't even know if that's
his
literally house.
It's literally a studio.
Yeah.
You know, it's like two of us and then, like, adding 3 other people and, like, we're all sitting around like you are in, like, KQRS up in Minnesota. The microphone's hanging over your head.
Right.
You got the one guy who's just doing all the audio-visual.
Yeah, they're running, like, a board of root bottom.
You know, all those things that you move up and down?
Yeah, that's the board operator. You got a guy at the big board there, yeah.
Someday, Jürgen, someday.
Taking phone calls, yeah, that'd be something.
That'd be sweet. Eugene's really pushing for that.
Yeah, well, he's got to show a little more wherewithal before he could do that.
Yeah, that's true. He's already pushing us. He wants to go back to school. He was asking what our tuition reimbursement program was.
Continuing education program.
Yeah. Now, do you guys pay 75% or 80%? I call Jürgen. I go, I don't deal with it, this HR crap.
I've been ignoring those calls.
Oh, so he has been?
Oh, yeah.
Eugene.
So we have our topic this week is, as much as I'd like to continue questioning your sanity on Captain's Grill.
Now, why would you question my sanity and not his?
Well, I kind of questioned his at first. That's why I was trying to get an answer, but I couldn't get a good answer from you. But if Susie loves it, I trust Susie.
Oh, so,
to be more critical than you.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
Well, no, you know what I mean? Like, you and I would eat, you know, I mean, look at that fried chicken we ate at Everything Pop. There's not a lot that we're going to turn down.
Yeah, she said, when she saw that picture, she said, that looks disgusting. I'm like, oh, it was good.
It does look disgusting. I will give her that. It looks disgusting, but it tastes
good. Now, if you
good.
Could have that chicken topped with mud, but you could have, like, really fresh scrambled eggs that were made by a chef, that would be the ultimate breakfast. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, I like eggs when they're done well, but I can take or leave them. I know you love the eggs, but yeah. I don't really care that much. It's kind of just there, and I'll eat them. But at the buffet, you'll notice when we go to the breakfast buffets, I hardly touch the eggs. I go for the other stuff.
Hmm.
That's a topic for another day. This week's topic, we're talking about a potential trip coming up in November.
Well, what does this mean now? This isn't confirmed? I thought this was confirmed.
Well, the dates are not confirmed. The trip is 99% confirmed.
Okay.
Where Por Favor Frank and Sue will be treating me to a trip, which
we'll
I
stop.
Appreciate.
Hang on a second. Let's just take a step backwards, okay?
Yes.
Let's rephrase that.
Go ahead.
You will be mooching a trip off of Por Favor Frank and Sue.
I didn't bring it up. They broached the subject with me. My father said, do you think you'd be able to go again this year if we treated? And I said, well... You know, my ears perked up. Well, if you insist, I can see. I can look into it. I'll have my people look into my schedule. Anyway, as you go. Yeah, so I'm mooching a trip out of it. And then the other day, Frank laid this one on me, and he said, I know we have tables in Wonderland, but I was thinking about the dining plan. It might be a good deal. And I was thinking maybe the deluxe or the regular one. And I said, whoa. The deluxe dining plan? Now my ears really perked up.
Oh, that's on the table?
I don't think any... I will have to go through it.
I'm getting a shortness of breath right now. I thought it's we were just talking the quick serve dining plan. You're talking about the one where you get cigars and wine?
Not the signature.
Okay, all right.
Let's take a step back. But so he was thinking either the second one where you get one table service, one quick service, and two snacks,
mm-hmm.
or even the deluxe where you get three sit downs and two snacks a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I know we have the tables in Wonderland, but it might be a good, still worth it to do that. And he's giving me the reasons. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a good show topic. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Great show topic. Yep.
Is it worth it to get a dining plan on a certain like trip if you're really trying to do something different? Can you still make it worth it with the dining plan even if you have tables? So it's not like you got to pay for it and incorporate the cost of tables in Wonderland into it. It's already paid for. They have it. That's not in the equation here. But it's more of, are you going to spend more money on food with the dining plan than you would with tables? So you get the 20% off, obviously. Basically pays for the tip on everything, plus a little extra. And it comes off the alcohol. So it's got its advantages. But the dining plan is $48 per person per night for the quick service.
Yeah.
Which that one's not on the table anyways, but I'm just giving the facts here. This is approximate. I did some quick math. It's approximately $69 per person per night for the middle one, the standard dining plan.
And that's a one sit down, one quick serve snack.
Correct. Two snacks.
Two snacks, I'm sorry.
So they took the dessert away from the quick service meals now, and they've given an extra snack. So it's actually, I prefer that option. We can talk about that in a second. And then the deluxe is three sit downs, two snacks for $106 per person per night. Now, if you think about with three people, it would be $318 a day for food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically you could eat anything, like you could never want for food if you have the deluxe. Because not only do you get the three sit-downs, you get an appetizer and a dessert at each meal. So
do they no longer have the two in the quick serve?
The two what?
The two sit-downs in the quick serve?
No, it's one and one.
Okay, I thought they may have years ago had the two sit-downs in the quick serve.
They may have done that at some point, but as far as I know, this is what it's been for a few years anyway.
Okay.
So we'll start with the deluxe and we'll work our way backwards. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's do that.
So for $106 per person per night, you're getting everything. Like, there's nothing else that you could possibly need to get. You're not going to spend any money out of pocket on food.
Mm-hmm.
An adult beverage, definitely, because that's not included. So if you want that, that's going to cost you extra. and then the tip. You have to pay tip out of pocket.
Correct.
So that's added in, but we'll take that into consideration when we come up with our judgment. With the three table service, you could do a signature every night.
And you know, that's what I was thinking about. Like how I personally would attack it is because I love breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I might want to do maybe a nice buffet and then do like a snack or whatever in the afternoon and then hit a two credit.
Signature. Right. That is a good way to attack it.
And it's, I mean, not... because there's you could do three a day, which is nice.
That is,
and
very,
I'm thinking,
nice.
You know, Frank isn't a huge signature guy, but I'm sure there's a few places that he wouldn't mind trying. And if he's on a dining plan, he may want to do
key.
It.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about. And he said, you know, there's none of the signatures really appeal to me. But I said, well, Hoop-Dee-Doo reviews on there as a signature. He said, oh, that's pretty good. And then there's a few others. Like, I don't think he'd go to Narcoosie because he doesn't like seafood. And I don't think he'd want to go to California Grill. But Artist Point, he'd probably like. I mean, Hollywood Brown Derby, he's eaten there. He likes that.
Mm-hmm.
Le Cellier, he would like as far as a two credit. You know, so there are some.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There are a few, yes.
That being said,
you know, even Monsieur Paul could be an option.
Right. That's true, because he likes the chefs de France. So
yeah.
What you said is interesting, and I want to just go back to that. You said that you would do maybe a buffet for the morning and then a signature at night.
Mm-hmm.
But doing that, I feel like you're not getting that might make it better to stick with the tables with that plan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you're going to get the $106 worth. At least with the way Frank would do it. I'm thinking of him.
You're talking 106?
Yeah, I mean, you could drop 106 at a signature pretty close to it if you play your cards right.
Yeah, let's say you go to 1900 Park Fair. That's $45.
Right.
And then you go to Le Cellier.
Yeah.
You're looking at $60, $70 easily. You're talking appetizer?
Appetizer, entree, and dessert.
Let's do a sample.
All right, you want to start with Le Cellier?
Well, pick a buffet in a signature that you definitely think you would want to go to.
Well, I mean, the buffet doesn't matter. Like you said, they're anywhere from 25 to 45 for breakfast, so that's fine. We could do the Le Cellier and see where we're going to be. If we do dinner at Le Cellier on the two table service, appetizers, you know, that cheddar cheese soup is $11. Then the entrees run anywhere from 36 up to 54. You can get the filet is $54. The
your dad likes a filet, right?
No, not really.
Not really. He likes more of the marbling, like a sirloin or ribeye.
Oh, he doesn't really like steak that much.
No, I know he doesn't.
But he probably would eat the filet. So the $54 for the filet, that's their signature with the mushroom risotto and all that. They have a poulet rouge, which is andouille stuffed chicken, autumn hash, acorn squash puree, and ginger spice cranberry glacé.
Mm-hmm.
$36. The root vegetable gnocchi, black Angus ribeye is $54.
Yeah.
Spice scented Alaskan halibut, Angus New York strip was $50. So there's a good, you know, that's expensive. Like you said, if you're looking for 60-something bucks, easily, $11 soup, a $54 entree, and then a $10 dessert, you're over that.
You're 75 bucks.
75.
So, give or take a dollar, right?
And then you still have, the two snacks. So you can make it worth it with that, certainly.
But
that
also means... say snacks are a minimum of $5 or $6.
Well, here's the thing. This is part of it. Food and wine is going on, and you can use your snacks at food and wine. So that actually adds to it, because you can get up to $8-$9 with some of those.
So say you're 2 days at Epcot, you do a buffet, you know, an earlier buffet, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then at about 1 or 2, you hit a couple of the snacks
right
at food and wine. I mean, you have like a later dinner, 7:30 or so.
Right.
And I think that's the way to do it. That's personally how I do it, especially the days in Epcot.
Yeah,
the days when you're in Magic Kingdom, you might just want to do the three sit-downs.
That's true. The only thing with that is neither Frank or Sue are big breakfast people. They don't care about going all out for breakfast like you do. You know, they usually don't even eat breakfast when they're at Disney. So they might want to do like an early lunch and then a late dinner.
Yeah, whatever.
So that's another way. You could even really bump it up, the value there. Let's say you are in Epcot and you want to do a late lunch, one sit-down credit lunch, and you go to, say, you go to France for lunch, and you get an appetizer, $14.99. I mean, the onion soup's $8.99. entrees anywhere from $18.99 up to $32.99 or $35.99. So you could really, that's a one serve, you know, that's a one table credit, and you could be at $70 for that. A $15 appetizer, a $36 entree, and a $10 dessert, that's $61. And then we said $75 at dinner if you go to Le Cellier. I mean, you're at $130 something. If
plus
you did
two
those
snacks.
Two things, what's that?
Plus your two snacks.
Oh, plus the two snacks. And, mm-hmm. But if you did those two meals with the tables in Wonderland, you're still over because you're saving the 20%, but that's more than 20% over the 106, if I'm doing my math correctly. Because you'd have to spend you'd have to eat $130 worth on the dining plan, right, to make it work out to be a better deal than the tables in Wonderland business. So basically, you would have to spend 20% more than the 106 to make it worth it to not do the tables. Is that correct?
Basically, but you're getting into calculus right now.
Well, I mean, you're a business major. I figured you would be the one that could.
Yeah, but the thing I don't like about this is that you're always trying to game the system, and you're trying to always.
I'm going in with
one
a
up
game
the dining plan.
Plan.
No, I need one to... up the dining plan. So what I want to do is I want to see what your parents will actually eat.
I understand that, but I need to go in with these numbers and say,
because he's not going to have filet mignon three times a day.
Yeah, but I might.
there is that. I'm sorry, Bill. Yeah, but I might.
No, but what I'm saying is if I tell him, I say, listen, we're easily going to spend the 106, and then he's going to come back at me, and he's going to say, well, we spend the 106, that's fine, but if we spend that with the tables, it's going to cost me less than 106. So there's I need to just have all the information at my arsenal to make
so
this happen.
So basically what you're saying is that you're going to try to convince him to get the dining plan, and you're going on live radio. You're announcing an affair on like a talk radio station that your wife listens to every day.
No, see
that's kind of what it's sounding like.
I want to do what's most beneficial for him.
Good Lord.
I really want to know what's best. Like if you could go all out, it sounds like you can go all out with the dining plan.
What it sounds like to me is that you had a damn agenda going into this show.
No, I'm trying to explain it to you.
You're saying that you're neutral.
I'm leaning toward dining plan, but the thing is, as I look at the numbers, like you're saying, unless you go in and get the most expensive thing at every turn, it's probably going to be cheaper to do the tables in Wonderland and just get whatever you want where you go and not be forced to eat an appetizer and dessert at every meal.
That is correct.
So there's advantage. I think we would
now spend... you guys here's what I'm thinking too. You guys are going to have refrigerators where you're staying.
It's possible. Yeah. So
I think all leftovers will be you'll pour them there,
right?
And I'll come up every two or three days and just pick them up and drive them back down.
So you're like the housekeeper, you know, like when you stay at a DVC, the housekeeper only comes on like Wednesday and Saturday.
I'm gonna come every few days with my Tupperware containers.
Just
hey guys, maybe have a cup of coffee with you and then back down.
Oh, you guys went to Grand Floridian Cafe. That looks good. I'll have some of that.
Pasta's good. Shrimp and grits. We got the chicken pasta. Oh, yeah. is this half a bone-in ribeye? Yeah, don't mind me.
Yeah. Oh, you went to Downtown Disney. Okay, you went to the Art Smith restaurant. Oh, very good.
That's beautiful.
So that's part of my reasoning. I'm looking at it and I'm saying 106 is a lot. I mean, if you gave me that as my budget per day to spend on food, I could do a lot of damage with that. Especially if I can use that 20% off as part of it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think I could be less concerned about making it work for myself and make the money work out without the dining plan. I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. With the deluxe, it's really a question of how gluttonous do you want to be. Because that's a lot of food, Bill. I mean, you and I can eat. We could put away some food at Disney World, but that's a lot. Three sit-downs with an appetizer and a dessert at each of them. And two snacks. That's like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that doesn't leave you much time to do anything else except for eat while you're there. That's the problem.
But that's the whole reason why you want to go down, isn't it?
I'm not disagreeing with that, but that was we came across that, my wife and I, when we had the deluxe dining plan on our honeymoon. It was like, we were still full from lunch, and then we had our dinner reservation coming up at like California Grill, and you're like, oh, I gotta go through this all over again.
Mm-hmm.
like appetizer, entree, dessert, and you don't want to leave anything on the table. You finish your entree, and they come over, and they're like, oh, dessert's included, what would you like? And you're like, ugh, I can't even think about it. But then you order it, and it comes, and it's beautiful, and it's delicious, and you end up eating the whole damn thing. And then you feel sick. I start it all over the next day. In other words, I'd say, and I'd do it all over again. I like okay. that. That's a good problem. Adam, what are your thoughts? What would you, I mean, you could have this same, because you do have tables in Wonderland, and you could do a dining plan if you went up for a few days. What would you think between those two options? Do you like having the freedom of like going after the most expensive
thing?
I do like
that on occasion, yes.
So I could see both.
Mm-hmm.
There's less thought. If you have the dining plan, then it's all out of your head, and you just go at it however you want. It's already all paid for. I don't know. It's tough. This is a tough one. I'd like to hear what some of our listeners think about it. If it's not a common problem, though, because the tables in Wonderland is not a common common thing for the once-a-year vacationer.
Right. You got to be an AP holder or Florida resident.
Right. So there's not a lot of them kicking around in general. And not only an AP holder, you got to be an AP holder who goes down
a couple times a year.
At least 2-3 times a year with a,
I'm just,
a group.
I'm just saying qualifications is just AP or...
Oh, no, I know, but I'm saying if you're an AP holder, like if it was just Sarah and I, if we didn't have kids and we were AP holders and we went twice a year, it would justify having an AP, but it would not justify tables in Wonderland.
Correct.
Because we'd never pay for, we wouldn't pay for it in our discounts. So there, it's a select few people that make it worth it. I mean, for Florida residents, it's amazing, but other than that...
Yeah, it's a great deal for us.
So let's move down to the next step down on the dining plan. The one quick serve, one table serve, and two snacks.
Uh-huh.
That's $69 a day.
Okay.
And that's more than enough food. The only problem is then, not that you're limited, but the one table serve per day, you really want to make sure you do it right. You don't want to go and not waste it, but you don't want to regret the decision, you know?
See, I really don't like that option, because I don't like having two meals.
Only two, you mean?
Yeah, I don't like the quick serve. Especially not on vacation.
Right.
And you can always save up some credits and go to a signature or two, if need be.
It's interesting that you say that, though, because you say you don't like having two meals, but then when you had the three meals, your whole plan was to do one breakfast and then a signature at night.
Because that can tide you over.
Well, but you could do the same thing. You could do...
Yeah, but I don't want, like, biscuits and gravy at Pop and then just having a one-credit sit-down.
Yeah, but you could do the sit-down for breakfast and have a quick service, you know, have a couple snacks during the day and then have quick service dinner.
Yeah, but there's not a ton of really great options for quick service dinners.
No, and you end up eating a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
Over the course of a week. I agree. Right. I can see where you're coming with that. And I don't mind the quick serve, but I think what you're saying is that you don't want to be like have to pick one every day.
Right. I think it's really hard to pick a good quick serve every single day. Unless you're in Epcot, but you know, it just the chicken fingers and the burgers just really get old.
And there's good. I mean, there's good, but then you're forced into it every day when you have mm-hmm. the dining plan. Like if you're at Animal Kingdom and you had the quick service, I mean, there's good options. You could do Flame Tree, you could do Yak and Yeti,
right?
You could do the Harambe.
Harambe Marketplace is fantastic. Yep.
But if you don't have the dining plan at all, you might decide you want to go to the sit down at Yak and Yeti for lunch.
Correct.
But if you have the dining plan, you're going to say, yeah, I don't want to waste a table service on that. Now I'm forced to get a quick service because I have to use that credit. So you're saying the less flexibility because
yes.
you're stuck with one and one and you don't like that.
Yes, exactly.
If it was two sit-downs, if you had two sit-downs, no quick serve and two snacks, you'd be all about it.
Yeah, I think, and that's why I want to say, I think the time that I went with my mom, they had the two quick serve one quick serve and two sit-downs.
It's possible. I know there's been a lot of changes.
Really, really nice option.
I know there's been a lot of changes on the dining plan, and like I mentioned briefly before, the quick serve option has changed the most recently, where you no longer get a dessert with your quick serve meal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to a quick serve, you get the entree and a drink, and that's it. But they did add a snack in to those plans
mm-hmm.
with the quick
which
serve.
Which I'd rather have, because I don't
Oh,
eat
I
desserts.
Would too. And a little pour favor tip. A lot of the places, especially the food courts, like at Pop Century, if you have the mug and you don't want to get a drink, you can actually get a side as your drink. So most
okay.
So like
That's,
Frank
that
was
is
saying,
a good pour favor tip.
So Frank was saying they had the quick service in February when they went.
Oh yeah, so why waste a drink when you already paid the $15 for the mug?
Well, the mug comes with the dining plan, but you don't need a bottle of water when you could fill up whatever you want with mm-hmm. the mug, so then you could get a piece of cheesecake or you could get whatever nice. Bag of chips, and that counts as your drink credit for that meal. I don't know about the in-park ones if that works, and also you probably would rather have a drink at the in-park ones because it's not like you're going to be toting around your mug and it's not going to be full at that point. But
right.
it's at least something that you gives you a little bit of flexibility with that as well. But the price point, I mean, the deluxe price point is high, $106 a day per person. It adds up pretty quick, but you can get a lot of value out of that. If you like you said, if you're like me and you try to game the system and get the most money out of it, you can make it work for you.
Right. But we're throwing away the one quick serve, one sit down.
You don't like that one, and I can understand that. I do like it. I mean, as far as economy and having that paid for, like if I'm going down with the family and I want to have a dining plan, that's probably the one I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Because with two young kids, like if we go in 2-3 years with the girls, I'd like to right. have that plan because we could do a quick serve breakfast just to get everyone going,
right,
have a couple snacks, and then we can do a nice, you know, nice relaxing sit down for dinner.
And the other thing is you can always pay out of pocket.
Well, yes,
it's not like you're gonna starve, so if you need a lunch you can, you know, pull out the debit card.
You could spend $20. Yeah, you could exactly. split one quick serve between three people or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, you do have options. I just think for this trip, I don't know if that's the best option.
No. You know what I wish they had during Food and Wine is, like, just a snack plan. Like, you could get, like, 5 snacks a day for, like, $40.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. I guess you could just buy, you know, just put $40 on a gift card and go around, which is what they do. But that'd be cool if you could pay ahead of time and be like, I just want the snack plan where you get 5 snacks a day and then anything else you pay out of pocket, but you can just go all out on the Food and Wine with the snacks.
And this is kind of getting off topic, but I really do sure. wish that they would do what Swan and Dolphin do and just have a one charge.
That would be a total you-know-what show if they did that.
Yeah, but not many people are going to pay $90 a person.
I don't know. I would do that in a heartbeat. I guarantee I spend more than that through that place. And if I spend 90?
Yeah. I'm talking a day.
Drinks included too?
Yeah, it is at the Swan and Dolphin, yeah. Wine and
easily, because I would get a drink at every booth, which I don't do. So if I went, 5 booths would pay for it.
That's true.
You know, a $7 drink and a $6, or maybe 6 booths, but you could easily do it. $90.
Yeah, and you can do it all day.
I would love that option. I just think Disney doesn't do it because mm-hmm. they don't want to do much. Like, they try to stay away from the all-you-can-drink, like, one price and just keep drinking all right. the things. Besides, like, the Hoop-Dee-Doo, which is a set time limit, things like that, where they know it's only an hour.
If we do some damage within that 2-hour period or 1 hour.
We certainly can.
Oh, we do and some I'm sure, damage.
And I'm sure there's other people that do as much, if not more, damage than us, but at least they know it's just that time frame. It's not like you can pay the $65 for Hoop-Dee-Doo and sit at the bar at 2 in the afternoon until the show starts and just drink Bud Lights all day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I see what you're saying with that. That would be really cool. And they have a thing that you can buy for the Food and Wine. I don't know how much it is. I'll have to look into it this year when they release the information. It's like a passport. So it's basically what I'm asking for. And now that I think about it, I think they have it. Like, you spend, it's either $60 or $80 or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and there's little tickets that you hand in, so at each place you give a ticket instead of actually paying. So you kind of pay ahead of time and you have this little ticket book, and it has 12 or 15 tickets, and it's good for either a food or a drink. So you could do, you can kind of go around and get whatever you want for that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, let's
you
do, think let's
Frank
do
should
this.
Do dining?
Let's do this. Pull out a day and let's figure out what you do, like, say, for breakfast and for a signature.
All right.
And
so
let's price it out.
Well, we kind of did that, but we could do it. We'll do another one. I'm just telling you, if I present this plan, they're going to say, well, they don't do breakfast. So breakfast, I know
right,
for
so
you,
do a lunch. I'm just saying whatever you guys would do. I just said at the beginning that the way I would attack it was I love to get a good breakfast and then just kind of graze the rest of the day. But do a lunch, yeah. Do like an 11:30 lunch and then, you know, 7:30 sit down.
All right, so we'll look at Hollywood Studios, since that's one of their favorite places.
Okay.
And we'll do Mama Mel Melnick's, because I know they like that place a lot. And we're going off the deluxe or off the regular one?
What do you mean?
Are we doing the deluxe plan, or are you just looking just price-wise, just in general?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're gonna see what it's going to cost with the discount and then the tip.
Okay, because
For tables.
All right. I'm just thinking, because if we go in, with the tables, we're not each going to get an appetizer. We might get one appetizer to share.
Yeah, so go in and go see what that. You guys would actually end up getting.
All right, fair enough. So we're at Mama Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
I like the calamari, so let's say we'll get an order calamari, and then
you guys might say you're going to split two appetizers because that might be one of the nights I'm with you too.
All right, so calamari.
We haven't factored this in either.
That you might be mooching as well,
right?
And there's also a second mooch that might be coming in for a couple of days.
So this could be dining plan and
yeah.
We were doing the show chance. Dining plan or, but it sounded like it's going to be dining plan and
yeah.
Okay, so, go ahead, call it.
So a crispy calamari for $12, and let's say the a bowl of soup for Frank. So that's $6.50 because mm-hmm. he doesn't like the calamari. So we're looking at $18.50, and then three entrees. I don't know. I haven't been there. What's good there? You like that?
Oh, the steak was really good.
Was that the charred strip steak with the macaroni?
Yeah, that was good.
Because I'm looking at that seafood chippino sounds good, too. Shrimp, mussels, calamari,
yep,
fish Susie of the day.
Yep, Susie got that. She loved that. Yep. And you can't go wrong.
So that's probably what I would get, the seafood chippino for $24.
Yeah, go with that. Frank's going to get the steak.
So that's $33.
And your mom's going to get some type of Italian dish. That's how we did it a couple years ago.
So probably like the shrimp caponelli or whatever. So for $25. So you're looking at $25.50, $80, $83 plus... $12.95, $101, and then probably a cannoli, because I know Frank likes his cannoli.
Uh-huh.
So you're up to $110 and maybe a gelato. Or the sampler, how about that? We'll just say we get a sampler or something.
Okay.
So we're at like $115.
And this is for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're at $115 minus the $20 plus the 18% for a tip. Right, he usually leaves a little more than 18%, so let's just say $120.
$120, and that doesn't include drinks, which there probably would be a beverage or two. So we'll say $145, because if everyone gets a drink, like an alcoholic drink,
and the thing, and the difference with tables is that they do discount the drinks,
right? That's
whereas they're not included, and you usually like to have a drink, he'll have a Bloody Mary,
or even if not, just a soda or an iced tea.
Yeah, but a soda and an iced tea is included with the meal plan.
Oh, good
I'm
point.
Saying.
That's a good point.
But the alcohol is not, so we really have to figure that in.
Yep. All right, so we're at $135, $140 for lunch for three people. So mm-hmm. you divide that. Well, we don't have to divide it out. So that's the lunch, and then it would be a two-credit sit-down. So we'll stick in Hollywood Studios and do the Brown Derby, because that's the only two-credit they have there.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be... I would imagine a Cobb salad or two would be ordered. Probably one Cobb salad to share and maybe another appetizer for dinner.
Yep.
So we'll say a Cobb salad's 11 and then a crab cake for 16. As far as entrees go, dinner, I didn't get the steak at lunch, so I'd probably get the charred fillet of beef.
That sounds nice.
It sounds pretty good for $49.
Now, you thinking that'll be 100% in your tummy, or am I going to have a little doggy bag to take
there
down?
There might be. Well, you might be like outside waiting for us to come out. There could be a doggy bag. Depends on the Cobb salad.
You know I'm going to be texting you every couple days. How's it looking? Yeah, the fridge is full. You might want to come up today. Okay.
I'll just send you a picture every night of the fridge.
Of the refrigerator. Just let me know what kind of bags I need to bring up.
You know how they have those like smart refrigerators that like take pictures and they send you a shopping list? That's what you're going to have. It's like
that's
a live
beautiful.
View. I think Sue would probably try that pork chop, maybe with the citrus marmalade for $37. And then Frank, I don't know what Frank would get here. He's eaten here, and it wasn't his favorite place.
No, I know it wasn't. He had mentioned that.
Maybe just the chicken that comes with the mac and cheese. So that's $32, $37, and $49. So $50 plus $70. So that's $120. And then what did we say for the appetizer? $11 and $16. $147. You're looking dessert. I would probably pass on the dessert, but maybe $10 for dessert.
Mm-hmm. Something that y'all split.
$157 and a couple drinks. So you're at $175.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where you'd be after discount and then the tip. So $175, and then what did we say for lunch? $145.
Yep.
So you're at $330, right?
So you're at $330, which
is without snacks, which is more than the $316
a person.
Right, so it would save you a little bit of money.
Being on a dining plan.
Being on the dining plan, that doesn't even include your snacks, which there would probably be some snacks had throughout the day, whether it's at breakfast time or whatever. So maybe it is a way to go. I don't know. This is bringing interesting things to light. I think the key is making sure you do that signature, and Frank's not a big signature guy, so I think that's going to be the stumbling block.
But I also think if you do three a day, it's still going to be a good deal.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's do a quick three a day.
A quick three a day.
Let's do quick three a day. Say,
Epcot day.
Do an Epcot and have breakfast at Captain's Grill, because I know you kind of want to do that.
All right. That
do a Captain's Grill breakfast.
So breakfast, you don't get appetizer or dessert, I don't think, with the dining plan. I think it's just the meal, which is fine.
And so I'm saying if this comes out where, obviously, if the dining plan's a better deal, then I would say the dining plan. Because we did sit-down signature and then three sit-downs.
Right. So there's a crab omelet for $15.
And I bet you and your mom would probably get that.
Well, but there's also the buffet. You can get the $18.99 buffet, the omelet. So we'll just say, you know,
Frank's probably going with the buffet.
Yeah, most likely. So $19 for that, plus the two omelets are $15, so $30 and $19 is basically $50.
You're probably gonna get some juices and some coffee.
And juice, yeah. So we're looking. They have a Bloody Mary too. So say $63 or something.
No,
would you
have a Bloody with breakfast?
It depends. I would. I don't. It depends on the night before and what the plans are for the day, but. Let's say I pass. I'm not going to do it. So the drinks would be included if we had the dining plan, and then it would be like 60.
Yeah, you want to price. You want to price it out with tables,
right? So let's say $65 with the tables for breakfast.
Okay, so we're looking at $65 breakfast. That's a good start.
That is a good start.
That's a good start. $65. That's a good start. Now where you going to go for?
Now
lunch?
Here's what I'm thinking for lunch. Is going to be the Garden Grill, the buffet there, the all you care to enjoy.
No, is that a one credit?
It is, at Garden Grill, and the price range is from $37 to $45. So let's assume it's at the low end.
We're going to go to the low end at $37, correct.
$37.97, so basically $38 each, and that includes everything unless you buy alcoholic beverage, which I probably wouldn't do that.
Right.
So what do we say, $38? So that's $114. What that would cost.
And then you guys are definitely going to go to Chefs at night.
You think it's Chefs de France?
Yeah, that's one of your dad's favorite spots.
Okay, so we'll say that. And we kind of went through what they have there. And Chefs de France, I mean, there's onion soup.
You and your dad are going to get an onion soup. That's
right.
Definite.
Get the onion soup. And then we'll say that maybe Sue would get the cheese board.
Okay.
So we're at $33 for appetizers. Their mac and cheese is pretty good. I've had that. That's very good. The braised short ribs, that's probably something I would try. So that's $29 for that. The steak with fries, the grilled flat iron steak with French fries. Maybe Sue would go with that for $31. And then Frank, maybe he'll go with that mac and cheese for $19.
Yeah, he liked that.
So we're at $112 there.
Yep.
Plus a couple desserts. We'll add another $20. Plus, definitely a cocktail with that. So we'll add another $25. So we're at $157.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were at one. I already forgot. What were we at for lunch?
What was it, like $30 a piece or 37?
It was $114, $157, and like $67.
Okay.
That's $338.
Okay, so it's a better deal to do.
But it's about the same because you still have to leave a tip when you have the dining plan. So you actually have to add 20%.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So at $338,
it's about the same.
So what is a tip going to be?
It's going to be about 20%. So you're not adding a tip with tables because it's already basically it just eliminates.
It's eliminating. So you're looking at $338, and 20% is going to be about $60 a day in tips.
Yeah. So you're at like $360.
Okay.
So it's
for the first meal and the second.
Yeah, I mean it's basically a break even. It's real close. It really depends on if you are going to do the most expensive entree everywhere, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think
I say actually we go to break and we come back and give our recommendations.
All right, that sounds good to me.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
first I'd laugh, but now we're sinking in fast. Whatever lives on me, well, baby, I don't want to take advice from fools. I just figure everything is cool until I hear it from say. It's likely they're just jealous and jaded. Well, maybe I don't wanna take advice from fools. I'll just figure everything is cool until I hear it from
back from break. Lots of discussion about food. What else?
It's a beautiful thing.
So we're basically comparing and contrasting. I was just itching my nose. I'm sorry. Comparing and contrasting the two options, Tables in Wonderland and...
basically the deluxe dining plan.
Deluxe dining plan. We threw away the quick service.
Right.
So what is your takeaway from our discussion? And I think crunching the numbers actually brought it to light, don't you think?
Yeah, the last couple really helped.
Yeah.
I think that the Tables in Wonderland is still a better deal.
Yeah.
Because, first, you get the discount on alcohol and everything, and then you're not beholden to getting each person getting an appetizer, each person getting a dessert. Because, you know, you're more likely to share some of those things. You know, everyone's going to get an entree anyway, but maybe two appetizers and, and one dessert to share.
Right.
So you possibly save a little there, and then the tip basically gets paid for with the 20% discount. They add an 18% tip onto the end, whereas the dining plan is the opposite, where you've already paid the $106 mm-hmm. per person, but then you have to tip out everything. So if you go with the most expensive stuff and you end up spending $180 at the restaurant, then you got to tip out on that $180 on top of it. So if you spend $400,
yeah, if you try to game the system, you're paying 20% more.
Right, you're paying the 20% on whatever you ordered.
Right.
So if you spend 200 something bucks at a place, you're tipping out $50. So that adds up over the course of a trip. So you really have to take that into consideration. And I think the Tables in Wonderland still is a better option. And it gives you a lot more flexibility where you're not worried about making sure you don't leave any credits on the board.
See, and that's the thing. I think looking at it, I think it's a way better deal, actually. I think from a money standpoint, it's better. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, from a flexibility standpoint, because I'm looking at your Epcot, you're having a big breakfast.
Right.
Now you're having a big all-you-can-to-enjoy.
Yeah.
And now you're going over to World Showcase, and you're having dinner at Chef's, and you look at you might not want to have appetizers that night.
Right, but
because you're not that hungry. Right.
If you have the dining plan.
Right, exactly. And so I think you're going to save a lot more money doing tables.
I think you're right.
And I like the flexibility because, again, maybe that day at Epcot, you don't want three meals.
Yeah, I mean, if we did Captain's Grill at 10 o'clock, and then we probably wouldn't do a lunch at Garden Grill.
Right, you might not do a lunch, but if you did one at 3, now maybe you just get a couple tacos at a quick serve or get some fish
and
chips.
Yeah, and food and wine's going on or whatever.
Food and wine's going on. So I think you got the flexibility, and I think you're going to save actually a lot of money.
Beautiful. Well, it's not my money anyway. I'm not saving anything, but I understand what you're saying. It's going to end up being less in the long run.
I think a lot less in the long run. But even if it's a wash, theoretically, you still, I like the flexibility that you have with tables.
Because then you don't have to have three every day. And you don't feel like you have to make it worth it.
Right, you don't have, well, I got to get the most expensive thing on the menu because I'm getting screwed.
Right, exactly. Or not so, even that, you have to get the most expensive that you almost don't want to get something that's cheaper, even if it's something that you want.
Exactly.
Like, if you go to Chefs de France and you really want
that
macaroni
and cheese.
Yeah, you
don't get the macaroni and cheese, that's stupid.
It's $18.99, it's like, oh, I don't want to get that, but that's really what I want. So you end up getting something you don't even want just because you feel like you have to take advantage of the fact that you've already paid for it.
I'm glad we did the show because I've always kind of been wondering. But I think we know if you have tables in your pocket, that's the way to go, right?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, it was kind of like a roller coaster because in the middle of it, I was like, DynaPlan's the way to go. It's definitely better.
Yeah, I was the same way.
But then and the more we hashed it out, it sounds like the tables definitely.
Because usually we like to debate and stuff, but when we were running numbers toward the end of the second segment, I'm like, oh, this is a no-brainer. There's no way Jürgen's going to go with the dining plan.
Well, that's easy enough for me. It's a beautiful thing. I have nothing else to add. We're running a little long.
Yeah,
so
we're long. You want to do the social media?
Sure, I'll do it today. You can find us at www.pourfavorpodcast.com. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search Por Favor Podcast and subscribe. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast, youtube.com/Por Favor Podcast.
Make sure to check out Mr. I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr.
Yeah, the clam chowder, the garden grill, the April cooking class coming up. It should be out. By the time you listen to this, it should be on YouTube. What else? Email the show info@PourFavorPodcast.com and email me, Gary@PourFavorPodcast.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter at PourFavorMike, and you can email me personally, Mike@PourFavorPodcast.com. You got nothing else?
Nothing else. Bring it home.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 165 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de las Podcast. For my cousin, Dr. Eugene Klinsman, up in Westerly, Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida. We'll talk to you next week.